Well, it's a great privilege to be able to speak today. Part of the deal for today was that the interns would choose a Bible text for me to speak on. I must confess, I was expecting something incredibly obscure and incredibly difficult, and I was surprised and delighted to be presented with Matthew 4. And especially the call of Jesus in verse 19, come and follow me. So exciting and wonderful. And it's great to reflect on this together. And I think we see, first of all, that it's a call to radical root and branch commitment to Jesus. He's walking along and he says, come, follow me. And straight away, these guys get up, they leave their fishing nets, they leave their fishing business, and they follow Jesus. The Greek word that's in here twice, euthus, immediately, is one that is associated with radical commitment. And this is what we see here. I want to say more than this today, but I do want to just highlight, I guess, what's obvious here, but just so that we can't ignore it, that this is full on 100% commitment. And in particular, it's giving control to Jesus. There's an old British Gas advert that was on TV, I suspect, long before our interns were born. And the strapline to the advert that some of you may remember, don't you just love being in control? And we do. We want to be in control as people. And Jesus says, no, I want to be in control. Eugene Peterson talks about how we need to clear away the clutter of the God-pretentious self and give control to Jesus. When we do this, it's hard. When we do this, it's sacrifice. We can imagine these guys stepping away from their fishing business. We can imagine what those who were working alongside might have felt about this. It's clear 100% commitment, and it's difficult. And yet the rewards of following Jesus are so great and so wonderful. I think in many ways our interns have exemplified this real commitment to Jesus Christ. And so, illustrating that with their lives today, I want to encourage each one of us, you and me, to be fully committed to Jesus. He says to us, come and follow me. How do we do this? How do we follow Jesus? How do we hear his call today and respond to it? One of the ways is through the spiritual disciplines. Again, I want to say a bit more than this today, but it's certainly a part of what it means to follow Jesus. And it's one of the things that we've emphasized much here at Cornerstone over the last 6 months. We see these spiritual disciplines in Jesus' life. He practiced silence and solitude. He engaged in mission and ministry as the Father directed him. And he spent time in worship with others. All of these things are spiritual disciplines. And we are called to practice spiritual disciplines also, not as an end in themselves, but to draw us closer to Jesus Christ. The two most obvious spiritual disciplines are prayer and Bible reading. And once again, I want to encourage that on a daily basis for you to read God's word and to pray. Make time for this. But especially this morning, I want to talk about the spiritual discipline of simplicity, which is something that Jesus very much practiced as well. He lived a simple life. And it's a profound truth that if we are going to grow closer to God, if we're going to follow Jesus more closely, we need to live more simple lives. I know there have been times in my life when, in terms of spiritual disciplines, in terms of Bible reading and prayer, the way that I've tried to do it is just to load on extra into an already busy life. And long term, that doesn't work. Long term, that's not Jesus' way for us. Talked about clearing away the clutter of the God-pretentious self. And sometimes we just need to clear away the clutter, full stop. We need to simplify. And there are ways that we can all do this, creating time and space for us to engage with our God. I'm convinced that this is something not just for those who are time rich, who might be wasting their time, but also for those who are time poor. We can create space, we can create time to engage with Jesus. One of the things that the interns, particularly Hannah in this case, has encouraged over the past year is the writings of John Mark Comer. My daughter first introduced me to him, but it's been the interns who've been really pressing his case. He's a great spiritual writer. And in The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, he brings forward a number of statistics that show us how we waste our time very often. Here is just one, that the average iPhone user touches his or her phone 2,617 times a day on average. That's 2,617 times a day on average. I'm sure it's pretty much the same if you've got an Android phone. And it's not just younger people, it's older people who do this. I know that I spend a lot of time on my screens. I can't show you my phone because I'm recording on it at this moment. But we spend a lot of time on our phones, and some of that time could be much better employed in spending time with our Lord. Think about myself, think about the clothes that I have. The reality is that I tend to wear the same things over and over again. You might have noticed it. I've got my blue top on. I've got my sort of fawn-coloured trousers that I'm basically living in at the moment, cycling with another very similar pair. And you might think, wow, this guy's living really simply. He's got a small wardrobe. But actually, I've got a pretty big wardrobe, and I've got another wardrobe as well. And I've got a chest of drawers, and probably 70% of those clothes barely see the light of day. I've been thinking about simplifying, and I've been giving away some of these clothes to charity shops, and that's a good thing in terms of justice. But it would have been even better if I hadn't spent time buying these clothes in the first place, if I hadn't wasted money that could have been better spent on giving to God's work or giving to the poor. The time that I've wasted in shops that actually I've not really enjoyed, the time that I've spent online surfing the net, maybe making a purchase here and there. We all tend to waste our times. We all tend to accumulate clutter. And the challenge is to live more simply, firstly, as an issue of justice, and then secondly, as an issue of personal spirituality. Because if we're going to spend time with Jesus, if we're going to follow him more nearly and more dearly, if we are going to respond to the words of verse 19, a command, yes, but a gracious invitation also, come, follow me. If we're going to respond to those things in a wholehearted way, then we're going to need to live more simply, creating space, creating time so that we can engage passionately and strongly with our Lord. I want to throw that out as a challenge to you today, as I throw it back to myself as a challenge. But I do want to say something more. How do we really follow Jesus practically? How can we be dusty with the dust of our rabbi, as people say? We can't see him physically. We can't follow close behind him physically. That glorious image of the dust kicking up off the road, off our rabbi's sandals and onto us. It's a wonderful image. It's a wonderful picture. But how do we do it? Jesus is at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He is with us by the Holy Spirit, but Jesus is not with us physically. How do we respond to this command, to this gracious, gracious invitation? Come, follow me. Key, I think, comes from a great spiritual writer who passed into the Lord's presence just a few years ago, Dallas Willard. And he used to say this: when we're thinking about following Jesus, then we are to think about how Jesus would have lived our lives. So the question, how do we follow Jesus today? We can perhaps answer it with another question and ask ourselves, how would Jesus live my life today if he were me? Now notice that it's not that Jesus is living his life again. Let me try and put this as clearly as I can. Jesus has lived one life. He had a particular mission, and he's now with his Father in glory. So it's not like we're projecting ourselves back 2,000 years. Rather, we are thinking about how Jesus, who is present with us by the Holy Spirit, would live our lives if he were me. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus live in my particular situation, my own particular set of concrete circumstances? And I think that's just such a helpful question in opening up the way of Jesus to us, because it applies to whatever situation we're in. The interns have done something really significant, and they have taken a year of their lives to really throw themselves into the life of the church full time. They've discovered wonderful things. They've served in a myriad of different ways in church life. But we don't need to do that in order to follow Jesus' command. It may not be possible for you to give a year in that way. It may be that you have particular family responsibilities that you just couldn't walk away from. You need to pay the bills. You need to put bread on the table. You need to look after your children. You are looking after an elderly parent, perhaps. You cannot just drop everything and do something different. Sometimes God calls us to do that, and God called these four men in Matthew 4 to do that. They gave up what they were doing and they physically followed Jesus, and so they were responding to his command. But we can respond to that command and our outward circumstances not change. So it may be that you're in employment as a solicitor in retail. It may be that you're not in salaried employment, but you're a homemaker. Whatever it may be, insert your own trade, profession, occupation, what you do 9 to 5 or 8 to 6 or in the evening, whatever it may be, insert your own circumstances and ask this question: how would Jesus live my life if he were me? Your particular circumstances in life. It may be that you are married. It may be that you're in a relationship but not married. It may be that you are single. It may be that you have children. It may be that you don't have children. Jesus lived as a single man, and as Son of Man and Son of God, there were no physical children. And so a particular set of circumstances for him. But if he were living in you and through you, as in a sense he is by the Holy Spirit, how would he live your life? If you're married, how might he relate to your partner? If you have children, how might he relate to them? How is he calling you to live your life? Not some other life, not even the life that he lived 2,000 years ago when he was on this earth, but how is he calling you to live your life right here, right now? And so really, I'm leaving us with a question to apply to our lives, a question to apply to our days. How would he live your life if he were you? That's a question that I've been asking myself over and over again in recent days, applying it to the specific things that I have to do. My life as a team leader in a church, as a line manager, as a pastor, as a preacher, as a family man, as someone who's in a new relationship. What would Jesus have me do? Not so much what would Jesus do, but what would Jesus do if he were me? This, I think, opens out to us the way of Jesus. And as we pray, and as we wrestle, and as we act, we will know more and more what it is to hear and respond to Jesus' gracious invitation, come and follow me. The interns have done this, and I know that they're going to continue to do this because God's hand is on them, on both of them. And it's interesting that they're taking different paths at this moment. Hannah is staying on to do Intern Plus, and I believe that there are some really exciting things in church-based ministry following on for her after that. Gideon is moving into the financial world, possibly even the world of high finance. And you might think that they're taking two very, very different paths. In a sense, they are, but both of them equally, 100%, are contexts for following Jesus, are contexts for hearing and responding to his gracious command, come and follow me. It's not that church work is better than financial work. It's not that being a children's worker or being a pastor or being a minister for missional discipleship, it's not that these things are up here and sort of finances down here. God needs people in all sorts of walks of life. God needs people who will be following his Lord Jesus passionately in a whole variety of ways. One is not better than the other. One is as equally important as the other. But the absolute key thing is that in whatever context we're in, whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, we respond to the call of the Lord Jesus, come and follow me. And we can do that as we yield our lives totally to him. We can do that as we practice the spiritual disciplines. And we can do that as we ask ourselves the question, how would Jesus live his life if he were me? How would Jesus live this life right now if he were me?